Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to Grammy-winning vocalist Regina Bell. She stopped by the studio this week to chat about appearing on this weekend's new episode of Unsung. Joseph Sikora from Starz series Power opens up about season 5, and Breisha Webb and Essence Atkins from NBC's Marlin are in the studio to dish about their new season and more. I'll also be playing music from Regina Bell, along with Sons of Kemet and the late great Shirley Horn. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for women who look between 18 to 25 to portray pageant contestants for the new project, Queen America. Please submit a variety of photos of yourself in pageant gowns, formal wear, and a swimsuit. If you don't have these photos, then submit clear photos of yourself. Special skills and real pageant experience is a plus. Filming begins June 18th through August. If this is you, please respond with the photos along with your name, number, and size. Sizes to Queen America at centralcasting.com. In other related entertainment news, in theaters this weekend, Hotel Artemis, starring Jodie Foster, Sterling K. Brown, Jeff Goldblum, and Brian Tyree Henry. Set in riot-torn, near-future Los Angeles, Foster plays the nurse who runs a secret, members-only emergency room for criminals. Also in theaters is Ocean's 8, starring Sandra Bullock as Debbie Ocean, as she attempts an impossible heist at New York City's yearly Met Gala. Her first stop is to assemble the perfect crew. Ocean's 8 also stars Cate Blanchett, Anne Hathaway, Rihanna, and more. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
I'm Jami Wellman with today's WCLK Jazz Calendar. Saxophonist Danny Cuz presents his CD release tour at St. James Live on Saturday, June 9th. Jazz keyboardist Brian Simpson plays Smooth Sundays at St. James Live on Sunday, June 10th. R plus R equals Now, featuring Robert Glasper, Terrace Martin, Christian Scott, Derek Hodge, Justin Tyson, and Taylor McFerrin perform for two shows on Friday, June 15th at Variety Playhouse. Mosiki Scales and the Common Ground Collective will appear at Friday Jazz at the High on June 15th and is hosted by Jamal Ahmed. Kirk Whalum will be performing alongside The Whispers on Saturday, June 16th at Mabel House Barnes Amphitheater. The Mose Davis Trio, Leonard Julian III, Rhonda Thomas, and Simone Torres perform at City Winery as part of a jazz and blues brunch on Sunday, June 17th. And finally, Dave Koz and Summer Horns featuring Gerald Albright, Richard Elliott, Rick Braun, and Pieces of a Dream will perform an evening of contemporary jazz at Wolf Creek Amphitheater on June 23rd. That's today's jazz calendar. For these and more live jazz performances, log on to WCLK.com and check out the events calendar. I'm Jami Wellman.
Hi, this is Iyanla Van Zandt, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Quiet nights and quiet stars, quiet chords for my guitar, floating on the silence that surrounds us. Quiet thoughts and quiet dreams, quiet walks by quiet streams, climbing hills where lovers go. Watch the world below together.
You just heard the voice of Grammy Award-winning vocalist Regina Bell performing her version of the jazz classic Corcovado. The singer-songwriter is the subject of a new episode of Unsung, and stop by Upfront to chat about her decision to appear on the show. We also take a trip down memory lane and get the backstory on some of her most iconic songs.
Well, good morning, Miss Regina Bell, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Good morning, and I am great. It is good to be here.
I know. You know, so... We just saw each other the other night at the Gregory Porter concert.
Yes, and he was amazing.
Was that
singing
not a good
Nat
show?
King Cole. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And I told him afterwards, I said, okay, can I be a little prejudiced? I did miss Unforgettable. I said, but you were so amazing for
that. But he opened with Mona Lisa.
Yes.
Which was just like,
was everything.
When I heard that beginning,
and
I was
nobody
like,
does that song.
No. No.
So I was,
which is one of my favorites.
Yes, mine too. Yeah, mine too.
So I was thinking to myself, I was like, gosh, because we've been sort of doing a Black Music Month segment throughout the month of June, and I was like, wait a minute, I need to get her on the show.
Wow, it is June. Okay.
Yeah. So we put in a couple of calls, and you're here. Want to say congratulations. You're celebrating a 30th anniversary in the entertainment
31 years.
Wow.
Mother's Day.
Wow.
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
I left the Manhattans and did my first gig, had completed my album, and was on my own for the first time on Mother's Day.
Okay.
Leaving the Manhattan. It was a sad day, but it was like, what does Blue say? This is the saddest day of my life.
Yeah.
So, but it was it was an exciting day all at the same time.
Yeah.
Because now I was in charge and not just getting some orders to go here, to be there, whatever. I was Charles in charge, and yeah. It's been an amazing ride. It's been an amazing ride.
Now, you're the subject of an Unsung that is going to be airing on Sunday evening.
Yes,
and had an opportunity to check that out. What made you want to do the show? Because a lot of times I think people, when they hear Unsung, they think of an artist that didn't quite make it. And I believe that the series focuses on the ups and downs of just being a musical artist, period.
Yeah. I just was really, when I was asked to do it, I always am willing to tell my story, you know, the good and the bad. I don't like the dwelling on the bad. You know, I have a lot of amazing places that I've been in my life. You know, I've done a lot of amazing things. I've been able to fellowship with a lot of amazing people.
You performed for the president a few years back.
Yes. Yeah. And I want to talk about that stuff. You know, I don't want to just talk about, you know, some of the mishaps, some of the bad decisions. I don't want to just talk about, because we've all made them. You know, but there are, like the song says, my good ways outweigh my bad days. Mm-hmm. So I definitely won't complain.
Yeah.
So I want people to be able to see an intimate look at Regina. I want you to see a little bit about my family. I want you to see a little bit about, you know, that though I'm on the road, I'm also a caregiver. You know, I want you to see that, you know, even though there's some gray hair here, a sister still got something to say.
Yeah.
Don't play. You know, you know. 5 kids, 3 ministries, pastorship over 3 churches, still got a career going. I am still a daughter to 2 parents, a sister to a brother who is a star in his own right, you know. So it's a lot of stuff still going on, you know. And so I wanted to give some of my fans and maybe some fans that I will make an inside look. For 27 minutes.
If I could, I'd protect you from the sadness in your eyes. Give you courage in a world of compromise. Yes, I would. If I could, I would teach you all the things I've never learned.
You just heard a snippet of one of my all-time favorite songs. And I think this is a song that so many people, when they think about, I'm putting my child out into the world, this is my message for them. And that's If I Could.
Man.
How did that come to you?
My. That is my staple song. I first heard it, I was in The Village, me and Mickey Howard. And we were at a Nancy Wilson concert and she sang the song and we were both crying our eyes out. I didn't even have any kids then. And so I'm listening to her sing this song and I don't really get it. I just know it's a beautiful song and the whole nine. Years later, when I'm in the studio with Nick Martinelli and Greg Filling Games, and Greg says, I really think you should do If I Could. And I'm like, have you heard Nancy sing that song? You're not trying to get me make a fool out of myself, right?
Yeah.
And he says, no, you have kids now. So, you know, you got something to say. I think it'll, you know. And so I said, look, we're going to go in. We're going to do this like once or twice. That's all I'm giving you. And if it ain't happening, we not doing this. And so I went in, and to my surprise, I mean, it's just something else just took over. It's just like a magic just happened in there. It's like God just started speaking through my voice. And all the things that I felt for my own child, it started coming through my voice. And so much so that I even had her to say at the end, "Mommy, I love you." You know, so yeah. It was just, it's just one of those songs. And so years later now, still people come to me and say, "Hey, I played If I Could when my son or my daughter went off to the service. I played If I Could with my daughter's father, daughter dance," and just different places. And I played this song and it's healing me. And that means the world to me. And that's bigger than any accolade I could ever receive, because that's what music is supposed to do. It's supposed to help you in your life.
Yeah. And that was that was the first time I had ever received a record for a gift. And if I can jog my memory, my sister gave it to me when I graduated. And it's funny because we're siblings, but she was like, "You were my first child," in a sense, because we're so close.
Oh,
and
my
so
goodness.
That was her gift to me. And it was like, I had never received a song before. So it was just like, wow, that whenever I hear that song, I always think of that moment, because the lyrics and the words were so special. And that was her wish for me.
Yeah.
Was that song. So
yeah. Thank you. Wow. See, still making memories. And that means the world to me to be, I'm a part of the very fabric of people's lives. That's, you can't pay for that.
Yeah.
That's something different. Thank you. Thank you.
It's 2018. So what's next for Regina Bell?
Who knows? I have been, I got a cameo for the new movie Deadly Sexy by an author friend of mine, by Beverly Jenkins.
Okay.
Gosh, I'm about to go to South Africa and with Chris Walker and doing a soul jazz festival there. What? I'm about to be a grandmother again. My daughter's about to have a baby. She's the one who's on If I Could, and she's okay. About to have a baby.
Wow.
So she's going to have her own If I Could.
Yeah, full circle moment.
Yes, yeah. Yes. My husband and I are pastoring three churches here in Atlanta. And I mean, I'm looking forward to writing more. I'm looking forward to just doing more. I'm so alive at this stage in my life. I can't believe how alive I feel. I would think after 31 years that I would be tired, but I'm not tired yet, you know. And I look forward to whatever God is going to put on my table. My prayer is that I'm ready, that when it comes to the table, I can just snatch it up and say, "All right, what's next?"
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Miss Regina Bell, thank you so much for being a guest on Upfront today. Again, your Unsung is airing on Sunday evening at 9 p.m. on TV One. So we'll be tuning in.
Please do. Please do. I love the station 91.9. Don't play, y'all. Keep it locked right here.
Thank you, Regina Bell, for that exclusive interview. Go to WCLK.com to hear our entire conversation.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Next Level Events, presenting R plus R equals Now, featuring Robert Glasper, Terrace Martin, Christian Scott, Derek Hodge, Justin Tyson, and Taylor McFerrin on Friday, June 15th at 7:30 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. at the Variety Playhouse in Little Five Points. The group will perform a fusion of jazz, hip-hop, and electronic dance music. Ticket information is available at variety-playhouse.com.
This is Cece Winans, and you're listening to Upfront, hosted by Ray Cornelius.
Through the
fire.
Hello?
I have a call from the Manhattan Correctional Center. Will you accept the charges?
Yes. James?
Tommy. You sound tired.
I am. It's good to hear your voice, brother. How you holding up in there? Not so good. If I go down for this, you're giving me the needle. Man, you ain't going out like that. You can't.
You scared?
Help me. What do you need me to do? I need you to take care of my family. Got you.
You just heard a clip from season 4 of the popular dramatic series Power, featuring Omari Hardwick and my next guest, Joseph Sikora, better known as Tommy. Starz is releasing a DVD on season 4 this Tuesday, June 12th, and I caught up with him to discuss that and much more. Here's a snippet of our conversation. Well, Joseph Sikora, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm fantastic. It's great to be here.
Wonderful. So I got to tell you, I was at the Essence Festival last summer, and I believe you were in the audience for a show. I can't remember which one it was, but they introduced you and you stood on a chair. And when I tell you, that Superdome went bananas. I was like,
that was an incredible moment.
Oh my God.
It was Tashina Arnold and me, and she was acting the fool with me. We were having the best time together. And when I stood on that chair, she said, "Oh, there's your moment. There's your moment, boy." It was spectacular, and I was so appreciative.
I had never seen anything like that before, and I knew that you guys were sitting over there, and when they were kind of roaming and they said your name and you stood on that chair, dude, that place went crazy. And I was just like,
people
wow.
Love power. People yeah. love power. I'm so grateful to be on the show and represent. I was so honored to represent the show last year.
Did you know that it would become such a television phenomenon?
You know, Ray, I got to be honest with you and say that I never thought about it. I really and truly showed up just every day to have fun, do the best job I could do. I had the luxury of working with people who are incredibly talented, gifted in their craft. Courtney A. Kemp and Gary Lennon, who write the show, are unbelievable storytellers. And then obviously the cast of Omari Hardwick, Naturi Naughton, Curtis Jackson, Lala Anthony, Lila Lauren. We have just such a consummate group of professionals who set the bar really high. So in some ways, it's very relaxing because you don't have to think about, is this going to be huge? Are we going to do as good as last year? Because these other people, just like I'm doing, are just showing up to do the work right now. And I think if you do that, that's a much more credible formula for success than planning for success, is actually working on the product at hand.
Right. Now, your character, Tommy, is you know, for lack of better words, he's not the nicest guy, but he's fiercely loyal to his friends, and he's always getting the job done. So how does it feel to play such a character with edge? Because I'm sure you're nothing like him, correct?
Well, you know, here's an interesting tidbit, is that for years and years and years, I've been auditioning for characters that say with an edge or has an edge. And it's not until about 8 years ago when I realized, oh, I have an edge. So everything I audition for, I'm bringing an edge to. So it wasn't until I stopped trying to have an edge, quote unquote, okay, that I started getting these guys with an edge, because I innately bring that to a character, I guess. So what I've always done with Tommy is knowing that when they write for that scene to be heavy and intense, I'm going to bring that for whatever reason, that I'll bring that. So I worked on the other things that I enjoy doing more so, which is finding kind of what makes these characters tick underneath that. And then also find the humor and the levity within the kind of the severity of a character. And I think that's really what I've done with Tommy. So I think that adds to the complexity of the character. And no, I've never dealt copious amounts of drugs in my life, nor have I murdered anybody that I know of. But, you know, I have lines too, like Tommy, and I think that you do bring a certain amount of yourself into a character. So, yeah. You know, there's a certain, I'm sure, a percentage dynamic of similarity between us.
Thank you, Joseph Sikora, for that exclusive interview. Go to WCLK.com to hear the entire conversation, where we talk about his most memorable fan moment, working alongside Lala Anthony, and what fans can expect when the show returns this July.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Dominion Entertainment, presenting Crowns, a gospel musical in which hats become a springboard for an exploration of Black history and identity as seen through the eyes of a young Black woman, showing May 30th through June 10th at the Southwest Arts Center and starring Terry Burrell. Ticket information is available at dominionent.org.
Return to paradise. My
last guests are actresses Bresha Webb and Essence Atkins from the NBC hit series Marlon. The show is back for a second season, and the ladies were in town to promote the premiere episode, which debuts on June 14th. Check out a portion of our conversation.
Well, good morning, Essence and Bresha Webb.
Hi.
Welcome to Up Front.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
So I couldn't sleep last night. I knew you ladies were coming. I was so excited because I've been trying to get you. I tried to get you when you were filming.
Love That Girl on TV
One. No. When
she was here doing Meet the Blacks.
Meet the Blacks.
Oh, my gosh. And Night School.
Yes.
And Night School.
Can I just plug your up-and-coming movie? So Bresha's in Night School with Will Packer Productions with Tiffany Haddish. Kevin Hart, and she's also Meet the Blacks too. They're both coming to a screen near you soon.
She working.
Yes, in Essence, just did an indie film, and I'm blanking on the title. But
Same difference.
Yeah. It'll be with Demetrius Shipp.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, I actually talked about that. Actually, all of those projects I had talked about on my website. I'm going to give it a plug, raycornelius.com.
How you doing?
But I talked about those. So you ladies have been just busy working. You
Thank
were also
God.
In Acrimony.
Yes.
We went
yes.
to, me and Xaviera from Ice Cream Conversations,
we went to the premiere. She was there yesterday.
Right. We went to, I was her plus one for the New York premiere of Acrimony.
Okay.
Didn't know. And when we saw you on the screen, it was
I know. Everybody was like, you didn't tell me. I was like, I put it on Instagram.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Really?
I put it up there.
Oh Lord.
Wow. So I have to say, first of all, I was with you. I had the pleasure of coming out to Los Angeles back in March, I believe.
Yeah, for our live taping.
You all were such a gracious host for us that came out there.
Thank you for
we
coming.
We were on the set of Marlon.
Yes.
Had a blast. You guys have so much
fun.
Yeah.
it feels almost like we should give them money back because we just are having too good of a time.
It's like recess all the time.
It's not work.
No.
It's not work at all.
No, it's not. Yeah. Marlon makes it so much fun. We're laughing
all day long.
All day long. Mm-hmm.
So if you're just now tuning in, I'm talking to the actresses from Marlon, Essence Atkins and Bresha Webb. You guys are now back for season 2.
Yes.
This is taking place on June 14th, 9 p.m. And you guys are going to have back-to-back episodes.
Back-to-back 9 and 9:30, just like the first season, which you guys were so grateful. Y'all made us number one, the number one scripted comedy last summer. So thank you. And now we're about to do it again. And then some.
Yes. And we have the first season on Netflix premiering on June 14th as well.
Okay.
So if you missed it, catch up on Netflix.
So I'm going to start with you, Essence. What can fans expect this? Because I was able to see a snippet of what is to come, but what can
Which
our fans?
Which episode were you there
That
for?
Was the, oh my God, it was the episode, God, I'm trying to remember. It was when you guys were having the dispute in the kitchen. And the young lady from Greenleaf, she plays.
It was Wingman.
Right.
Oh,
yes.
Wingman.
That's a fun one. You know, we get to see kind of more of Ashley's neurosis. I mean, Marlon is still inappropriate. He's still, irresponsible and at the same time irresistible. Except to Ashley.
Yeah.
She's staying strong, girl. despite the drought, are imitating life. Yeah. Anyway, the thing is that you're going to get to see these characters now that we've established what the backdrop is for this show, which, if you haven't seen, Marlon is a family post-divorce. So you have two people who are committed to co-parenting in love, even though they are no longer a couple.
Right.
And then, you know, it's how their friends support them, their village, their community, mm-hmm. and sometimes undermine what it is they're trying to do, and how they all kind of undermine and support each other in their own separate journeys, but come together again to love and love on these kids. This season two, you're going to see them in situations that mirror real life. Again, one of my favorite episodes that we did this year had to do with kind of Marlon coming in after the H&M debacle.
Okay.
And saying, I want to talk about this, but I want to talk about it through these characters, and I want to explore it in a funny way. And we did just that. So you get to see how Yvette reacts, and how Ashley and Marlon and Stevie, when it's Zach who's wearing the sweatshirt.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's great. I mean, we had one person in the audience stand up and go, I know that's right. You know, our content, you know, we are Black in this industry, and we have a show that is a Black show, and we're woke. We're talking about real issues. We're not veering away from it. We know what's going on in our climate. And I'm really excited and happy to be a part of a show that doesn't run away from our issues. We attack it head on, and we like to laugh about it. We like to make people giggle.
Yeah, at the same time, because, you know, again, this is a multicam, and it has a throwback feel of the comedies that we grew up on, you know, there is Marlon's whole thing is that he wants to discuss it, but he also wants it to be funny.
Yes.
He wants to poke fun of things and look at things and enlighten things and shine a light on things. But he also wants to talk about what makes it so comedic at the same time.
And I think what's so important about one aspect that I think just everyone would agree with me is the chemistry that you guys have. Everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, when we were there on set, I mean, it was like being a part of a family. Even as the audience member, we were just there having a great time. We were seeing the process take place, but it wasn't like, well, what's going on? Or, you know, and then you guys are just so great together.
Thank
I mean,
you.
That on-screen that on-screen chemistry,
it's
is
real.
Just, yeah.
It's, yeah, it I
mean,
is real.
And for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, a big part of that is Marlon himself. I mean, as crazy as he is at the same time. Yeah, Lord. We know. But at the same time, it's like he walks around in love, and he walks around in respect of others and an appreciation and gratitude for what everyone does.
Absolutely.
So, you know, he appreciates the audience for what the benefit of knowing whether or not a joke works, and the stories that we get to tell, in the way that we understand that we are not anything unless you guys watch, unless you guys continue to support us, we go away. So we understand the value of the audience, and we understand that, you know, everyone there is a machine, and it works together. And somebody goes down, or one cog isn't working, and that messes up the whole system.
Yeah.
So he really walks around in great appreciation for what everybody brings to the table. And there have been times literally where, like, a grip or one of our
sound guys, or one of our
even catering will have a suggestion. They'll say it kind of under their breath of what they think would be a funny response in the moment, and if he hears it and he likes it, he'll use it.
Yes. Well, we saw that when you guys were shooting Wingmen. I think that the scene where it was Yvette and Ashley and Marlon were in the kitchen, and he said it one way, but then he messed up, and then he came back, he said it another way, and it worked. Our reaction as the audience was like, oh my God, it was hilarious. And so he kept saying that instead of what was originally.
Yeah, I mean, he's editing and improving right on the spot. We have writers that are consistent, like constantly working. We're constantly working with each other, working with the words on the page. And that's what's so awesome about doing comedy and doing a sitcom, because we can edit right on the spot. And when you have a live studio audience, you can tell it's instant gratification if it works or if it doesn't. And so that's the awesome thing about Marlon also, because he does improv quite a bit. You can see him working and editing and coming up with a joke in mid-scene, and you're like, okay. And he always got something from me, so I
right.
always
and I was
to
gonna say
try,
trying to see you keep a straight face, because
that's hard. I break
because I was looking at your faces, especially you, because you guys have that
our banter is real.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my God, she looks like she wants. You just kind of turn your head and
oh,
you just
yes.
look away.
I'm
like,
awful.
She wants to laugh. But I gotta ask you next. Next, When are we going to see you and Stevie get together? Because I heard a little birdie told me that you guys are going to get together this season. Is that true?
I don't know. Maybe you know something that I don't. I mean, Stevie and Yvette's chemistry and our dysfunction works for each other and works for the comedic element of the show.
Yeah.
So I don't know when they're going to actually put us together, but I'm actually curious because I'm like, me playing Yvette and me kind of living through Yvette, I'm like, if she settles with Stevie, oh my gosh, what does that say about the world that we live in?
Yeah.
But you know, I'm excited to see if it happens. There's some tiptoeing around it, but I think third season for sure. Something is gonna happen.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for stopping by up front again. It's been a pleasure having both of you here. And again, Marlon will be airing season 2 on Thursday, June 14th at 9 p.m. So we'll be checking in.
Thank you so much. Yes. And we already say thank you for watching.
Yeah. We are so grateful
for
you guys showing up and showing out and telling friends and so on and so forth.
Yes. Enjoy it with the family.
Thank you, Brescia and Essence. Go to WCLK.com to watch the full interview. Marlon premieres on June 14th at 9 p.m. on NBC. Well, that'll do it for today's show. I'd really like to thank all of my special guests, Regina Bell, Joseph Sikora, Brescia Webb, and Essence Atkins. I would also like to thank my engineer, Jami Wellman, and you. Please join us next Saturday, June 15th, for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta! If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station 91.9 FM WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.